This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, David, next studio guest we have.
Yes, very glamorous for a Sunday afternoon.
I know. I'm feeling very special because you seem like you've really dressed up for the occasion.
Yes, I have. I mean, it's radio. You got to look good.
And you certainly do.
That's right.
So, so we have in the studio, we've got Valerie Hicks.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Valerie.
It's good to be here.
Now, Valerie, you're here as part of to tell us a bit about a show being done by James Wellesby, who's apparently very close to you.
That's right. Sometimes I try him on during the day when I'm feeling unglamorous and want to go to Woolies.
Yeah, just for everyday activities, basically.
That's right, low-key.
Yeah, you need to have an option, don't you?
Everybody needs a Clark Kent.
Yeah, very good.
Now you've got a collector that's called what?
Yummy. I am the director of Yummy, which is a drag cabaret that we had an incredible 2018. We won 2 Green Room Awards, Best Production, Best Ensemble.
Brilliant.
We got 5-star reviews in Edinburgh and Adelaide, and been starting the international touring is amazing.
Where did it all start for you?
Yummy. Yummy was a kind of crazy idea in 2015. I wanted to do a cabaret. I was working in dance as a contemporary choreographer, and there was that funding cut to the Australia Council for the Arts of $100 million dues. Mm. And, you know, that would really affect an independent choreographer and dancer like me. And I thought, you know what, forget this. I'm going rogue. I'm going to start my own cabaret. It's going to be drag. It's going to reimagine contemporary dance in high heels.
Brilliant.
And that's where it all began, and now it's its own beast. And
what's Dancing Queens?
Dancing Queens is a separate project, so it's not Yummy, but it still comes from my bizarre brain. So Dancing Queens is part of my residency at Dance House. So
right.
Dance House is the centre for independent dance, the premier centre for independent dance in Australia.
Brilliant, and they do such a good job, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. They're advocates for the independent sector. So they really promote new ideas, rigorous ideas, ideas that aren't commercial, ideas that, you know, really deserve space to grow and to be realised.
Right.
So I got a residency there.
Right.
It's called Housemate, and it goes for a year. For some reason, they let me in. They let me in the door. They gave me the key. So I was kind of chipping away and doing this research project on queer dance history. I was interested in that because it's coming up to the 50-year milestone since Stonewall. And I was part of the Taylor Mack show that came to Melbourne Festival.
Right. I think I saw you on stage.
You probably did.
Yeah.
So that show just kind of blew my mind. It was like
amazing.
Nothing else I've ever been a part of. And I actually was the rehearsal director for the dance sequences. So they hooked me up with that. And out of a conversation that I had with Taylor Mack backstage about queer history, Taylor said to me, you know, why don't you do it about dance?
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, all right. So that's kind of where that interest first sparked from. And now we have the full fire burning. So Dancing Queens is about dance history since Stonewall. So it's about same-sex ballroom. It's about voguing communities that have popped up. It's about whacking. It's about heels, which has emerged as a queer style kind of more on the internet. So these different queer dance cultures that may or may not have anything to do with each other and looking at them in a kaleidoscopic way.
And how did you find out all this information about each of them? You automatically know them, or you've had to do research?
I had to do a lot of research. I mean, some stuff I knew, and being a dancer, I was just aware of it and around it. And there's been a kind of massive resurgence of voguing in this decade.
Have you seen the series called Pose?
Of course. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love it. And, of course, you know, so many people have seen Paris is Burning now, and the documentary about Madonna's backup dancers, Strike a Pose, that one's called.
Yep.
And, you know, I think people really understand now that, that voguing is a culture that comes from the black and Latino queer community, queer and trans community from New York City, and it's spread around the world, and there are different houses in different cities. So the show's not entirely about that, but it's kind of a factor in the show.
All right. Well, give us a breakdown of exactly what it is in a nutshell.
Well, it goes through the decades. So it starts in the 60s.
Yep.
So I have a style and a setting. So in the 60s, I have same-sex ballroom. And my setting is the closet.
Because it would have been in the 60s.
Yeah, that kind of transition era. So it's about a more kind of closeted community. It's about dancing privately, and I invite the audience to dance as well.
Oh, lovely. It is, lovely.
It's not compulsory, but I encourage interaction because I think in the communities that we live in, we are all participants, and my inviting the audience to participate, it's a metaphor for the doing of life. The activation of communities. I'm asking you to participate, and there's a bigger kind of symbolism there. Then the show moves into the 70s, and the dance style is whacking. That's a queer style from LA. Mm-hmm. It has kind of some similarities to voguing, but also some major differences. And my setting is the disco. Then in the 80s, I have MTV is my setting, and the style is like pop culture. It's set on the music videos, all that kind of coded language like you'd see in George Michael music video. When I say language, I mean body language.
Yep.
I'm talking about, you know, dance
and
how a certain move can communicate so much.
Well, he made a real statement, didn't he, after he was caught in the toilet, and then he did that whole video.
Oh, yes.
Where he was dressed as a policeman and the, you know...
The perfect response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send it up, you know? If they try to bring you down, send them up.
Yeah.
And, well, in the 90s, then I have the Vogue Ball as my setting and voguing, and then in the 2000s, the internet as my setting, and the dance style is heels.
And what exactly is heels? Is it, you know, like just dancing in heels, or is it a... Because I don't know the, you know, like the form, or is it a form of dancing?
It is a form. I mean, it's kind of a little more nebulous than some other styles. But, you know, if you think about, say, Beyoncé and the way she dances, she's always in a heel.
Okay.
So it's a style of street jazz done in stilettos, in a hyper-feminine kind of way. But the shoes make you move in a certain way. In heels like that, you have certain limitations, and a certain style of movement is kind of naturally encouraged.
Mm.
So there was this fabulous, I think they're Ukrainian, dance group called Kazaki, who were these five guys, and they became kind of internet famous for their dancing in high heels.
Oh, okay. But as men?
As men, right, yeah. Okay. As kind of sassy camp men.
That's cool.
Super fierce. And, and that, you know, like Madonna picked them up and was touring with them. And it is like a little subcategory.
But hold on. You know, like, it must be so dangerous.
Dancing in heels?
Really high heels.
Cross your fingers, say a prayer. Hips forward and lots of confidence.
Have you twisted lots of ankles?
Not my own.
Good answer.
I'm pretty good. I mean, I trained at VCA and graduated with a Bachelor of Dance.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can dance in heels. Come on.
Well, we didn't do a class there. We didn't do heels at VCA. But,
and speaking of class, I think they do classes in heels now, because one of my nieces actually teaches hip-hop in Perth, and one of their classes every week is in heels.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's well... Now we're really sounding old, David, but I think it's actually taking off quite a fair bit. It's quite popular, because you do see it on the internet quite a fair bit, actually.
Yeah.
And both guys and girls actually in heels too.
That's it. Yeah. And that's, you know, in some of the cases, these styles are codified and very clearly queer dance.
Yep.
And in other in other cases, like what I'm talking about on MTV, the kind of queer coding, like it's like a wink, a signaling that, yeah, like I'm queer.
And how are you presenting it? Are you showing the videos or are you reenacting?
Well, it's it moves through the 5 decades and I speak in the present tense. So now we are here.
Yep.
So it follows a timeline that had dramaturgical sense to me to kind of follow that. The show starts in 1969, right before Judy Garland died. So Judy is still there. And then that goes into, you know, the Stonewall riot and follows through from this closeted world into the disco world, then the digital world with MTV and then the internet finally. So, I have 4 other performers.
Yep.
And they are from the communities and the dance styles that I'm referencing. So,
right.
You know, they teach same-sex ballroom or they teach whacking. They teach 80s MTV. They teach voguing. So that's why I'm not claiming to be a master of all this stuff.
Yep.
I'm a participant like Brilliant. The audience is.
Yep.
And I connect with these 4 other teachers.
And you're telling the story per se.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm this kind of blabbermouth in the middle of it.
Right. Okay. and so this is the first time you've done this.
Yeah.
Right. Brilliant.
And also, it's I think it's a first of its kind, certainly in Australia. It's like a mini festival. Because there's the show,
yep.
So the world premiere show, but there's also 2 days of workshops for performance makers.
Ah, okay.
There's 3 panel discussions for people who want to talk.
Yep.
And then there are 10 technique classes.
Wow.
So it's a 2-week mini festival on queer dance, doing queer dance, talking about queer dance, watching queer dance. All of the good.
But then there are just the show, though, where you go through the history.
That's right. So Dancing Queens is the show.
Right.
So get yourself a ticket and come to that.
Yes.
Watch me shake my thing. And then Dancing Queens, the public program, has the technique classes, the workshops and the panel discussions.
Right. Oh, sounds fantastic.
It's pretty good.
And to get involved in those things, can you just go on the website to check out?
Yeah, Go to the Dance House website and have a look. And it is possible, if you're a keen bean, you could do all of it. You could do the 10 classes, the discussions, the workshops, the show. Nothing overlaps.
Right. And is it, you know, like you're saying you can do it all, but is it for people who are good dancers or can anyone do the workshops?
Well, that's a good question. So I think in the spirit of Midsummer and my goals within the community, because I really want to promote dance and promote kind of alternative community spaces, which is funny because I'm like a professional nightclub performer. So I'm not trying to turn anyone away from the nightclubs. I mean, that's where I'm at. But I'm trying to promote other spaces as well. And I'm inspired by queer theatre groups and queer choirs and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to promote a bit more of a dance.
And there's so much of it out there now, which is wonderful.
It's great.
Yeah.
So the level that we are advertising the classes at is open. So what does that mean? It's beginner friendly.
Okay.
And the teachers all know that. So they're pitching it at a beginner level. And if you have people in the class who are clearly experienced and clearly more advanced, the teachers will push them in a modified way.
Okay.
But it starts out beginner friendly.
Yep.
And they have an alternative to push it harder, but to keep the beginners feeling safe and happily challenged.
Yeah. And it's the sort of thing that you could easily come by yourself and you make friends.
Yeah.
And learn how to dance.
That's right.
Yep.
Bring your dancing shoes and leave with so much more.
Right. Absolutely fantastic. And are you going to take this Dancing Queens on the road?
Well,
the history?
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's a big project for me and I've bitten off a lot. So let's see if I can chew it.
Right. And what's your next, apart from Midsummer, you do other things? Like you were working earlier today doing what?
Oh, earlier today, I've just come from Bingo Academy at Tokyo Tina, which is on Chapel Street. And, they do like a bottomless, boozy bingo brunch on Sundays.
Right, and you host it.
I do.
Oh, brilliant. And how long have you been doing that?
9 months.
Right, okay. Having fun?
69, any way you like it. It's good fun. It's good fun.
Excellent.
And Yummy is going on tour next month too. We go to Perth for 2 weeks, Adelaide for 4 weeks, and in the middle of the year we're going back to the UK. So, oh my God.
A busy girl.
So busy. Busy. I need a personal assistant, but I just can't afford it.
Yeah, well, of course. You know, like,
Siri.
You can also go on to the website, the Midsummer website, and it will be under Dancing Queen, spelt
Q-W-E-E-N-S.
Right. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I can't believe we haven't had you on before. You'll have to come back.
We need to do a photo so we can document the look.
Absolutely.
I'm in a pink pantsuit and I feel like running for president.
Thanks so much for coming to the show. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.